Today's episode is brought to you by Hello
Fresh, eh?
Do you feel like you are stuck in a dinner rut? With HelloFresh, you get pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door.
Skip all those trips to the grocery store in Canada, eh? And count on HelloFresh Canada to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable.
You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy.
All HelloFresh Canada recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness, simplicity, and deliciousness. Oh wait, I said that already. I think the Gouda Vibes burger looks really good. And it's got like a funny hippie joke name, so that makes it cool, right?
Sure. Go to the link in our show notes and get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh Canada, the number one meal kit.
In Canada, eh?
Hello?
Fresh, eh? No,
it's
I don't think so.
It's actually really sweet.
Ooh. I like it.
It's got a medicinal flavor.
It's mostly honey.
Yeah, that's what I really pick up on is a lot of honey.
No, I do not like it.
Just a tiny hint.
Yum, yum, yum. Tastes like cigar smoke.
Michigoni and Degree. All the best podcasts are free. Simon Ginger and Witty. Playing games and drinking tea. Call a pound stone, never lies. The best podcast for its size. So hang out with your new best friend.
Hello, welcome to Grand Rapidians Play Video Games.
Yeah, we talk some games, we talk a beverage, we have some real life experience and recommend something. Yeah. I'm Ginger.
I'm Willie, and today's quote of the day is, "He will say nuns are so gay."
What?
That was Edmund Rostand. Other than that, I don't know.
All right. Will found one of his old quote books, yeah. And he's just reading from it. And there's some really weird shit in there.
And we've got some guests today. We're trying to nail down our new opening format. So you guys, tell us about your show and your names and stuff, like, right now.
Well, I'm Ben Robinson from Geek Exploration, the podcast, and yeah, we're here. This guy,
yeah, I'm John Williams. I'm also from Geek Exploration, the podcast. We are a weekly show where 1 week we'll pick a topic and talk all about it and our experience with it and why we love it and why it might suck, or we may experience something for the first time. And then on our off weeks, we do a more casual show where we just talk about general geek news and life.
And you're John, right?
Yeah, I said that, didn't I?
I think he said that.
Did he say it?
I may or may not be John Williams.
I really hope you didn't.
Well, welcome back, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, like
we've also played D&D together, so I know John as Sir Fartstink Buttwhistle more than John. So if I call you Fartstink, don't take it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. That's what my girlfriend calls me.
That's hilarious.
All right, Ginger, you got a beverage there. It says it's a twist off. Give it a try.
All right, yeah. I got balls ginger flavor. So it's ginger balls.
If you had balls, I imagine they would be ginger flavored.
And green. I mean, come on now.
So yeah, you guys were saying that you've seen balls around, but you didn't know that it was an energy drink. It used to just be blue.
Blue balls.
The blue one is good. The regular balls is decent. Yeah. This is really good, actually.
See, I think if I saw the two in a store together, I would probably try the ginger one, because I love ginger beer, ginger ale, ginger flavored, whatever. You know, there's like a ginger lemonade that I tried somewhere.
Ooh,
interesting. Nice. That has a lot of fucking sugar in it. Like 31 grams.
That's where the energy comes from.
It's not a caffeine crash. Right?
But it's really good.
There's also guarana. They're all called Ball's Guarana drinks. And there's like a warning on their website about don't drink too many. There's a shitload of caffeine in here from the guarana. So it's a high caffeine energy drink.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a real thing. It's not like what's that in Red Bull?
Taurine.
Where it's like taurine. Is that a real thing or is that why they named it Red Bull because of Taurus or
it's rumored to be bull semen?
Oh jeez.
I don't think it is though.
It's not semen, but it was first originally discovered as a like bull hormone that they could extract, and then they figured out how to synthesize it. And it gives people energy, so it's a synthesized bull hormone.
Damn.
Fun.
That sounds fucked up.
I have a feeling if you dig too deeply into most foods and or drinks that there's something that sounds fucked up in there.
Right.
Don't look at what the FDA allows in food. That will fucking creep you out.
So that Ball's ginger is pretty good. It's like a mellow ginger ale. It's not super spicy. It is sweet. It's very sugary.
Very sugary. And,
yeah, it's pretty good. I'll give it 3.5 out of 5.
Because of all the sugar, I'm just going to give it a 4 out of 5. If it had less sugar in it, I would probably give it higher.
Cool. I know they just recently started expanding. It's been around like as long as Red Bull, but it was only just the blue one.
Holy shit, really?
But now there was like a cherry one that came in a clear bottle, I think.
Oh.
And this ginger one. Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah, I kicked Red Bull entirely for a while and switched over to just good old-fashioned coffee. But then John and I were leaving a Six Flags, and these people handed me a free, like, mango monster. And holy shit, that thing is so good. So like now I find myself drinking that, and it's like even bigger than a Red Bull. I'm like, God damn it.
You didn't solve the problem for long.
Yeah. Like I keep half hoping that they'll discontinue it and then I won't ever buy it again. But
do you have a beverage you'd like to talk about?
Sure. I'll go. I got a classic, good old Speckled Hen. It's a UK English pale ale. It is tasty. I wanted to get like a Fuller's ESB, but they didn't have any Fuller's at the store.
Oh. Whoa, fizzy.
Whoa, nice
mighty crack.
Yeah. That was...
Sounded fizzy.
Yeah, it was all gurgly.
Which is odd because it's like an English ale, so it's got pretty, it's like a low carbonation ale. Like the drink itself isn't very fizzy.
You just got to open the can like a man next time. Crack that baby.
But no, it is...
Is that upside down with like a pencil stuck in it?
Just shotgun it? But yeah, these are good. This one is not... I don't know how long this was sitting on the shelf. It tastes a little off. It's still tasty, but it tastes more like a... it almost tastes like a lager. It's got a bit of that, like, Milwaukee's best aftertaste to it with an ale taste forward. So it's kind of odd. Yeah. I don't remember it having that last time I drank this.
The Beast?
Yeah. But it's not bad. I'd give it a...
I've never checked into one of those.
Really? Yeah, they're one of, like, the big English ones that gets ported over here that I see a lot. Not top of my list, but it was the top of my top of the English beer list that they had on the shelf.
What are you going to give it? What rating would you give it out of 5?
I think I generally give it like a 4, but this particular can here, I think I'm going to lean closer to like a 3. It is,
they might have skunked it a little
bit. It is not in prime condition. I don't know how long it was sitting somewhere, but it's been a while.
I guess that makes sense too.
If it got warm, cold.
Yep. Skunk
like
it up.
That.
Yeah. So
yeah, because if I remember correctly, those were sitting on your counter, right? I mean,
well, they're always sitting on my counter.
Yeah, if it's an English beer, are you supposed to drink that room temperature?
Usually it's cellar temperature, which is like 55 degrees. Okay. Which I imagine for a lot of England, maybe that is room temperature. I don't know. I know it's chillier over there. But no, I generally keep most of my beer on the counter, unless it's a lager.
I have a Gojira. It is a partnership of Brazilian and Japanese women brewers.
Oh,
it looks
nice.
Like it's actually brewed in the U.S. in Chicago by Japas, beerinternational.com. I don't know. It's a New England style IPA. It's supposed to be hazy and dank.
Interesting.
So let's see.
Be careful. So you've been moving that can all around and shit. Boosh. That was a nice crack, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's a dank hop. It's kind of syrupy, bitter. And it says it's got Mosaic, Simcoe, Citra, Strata, and Columbus hop. So it's very resinous and green tasting. If you like a thick, syrupy, bitter hop, this is a good one. And it's cool Godzilla artwork on it.
Yeah,
that is nice. Yeah, that's some sweet artwork.
Gojira, that had an A in it originally. I thought it was spelled with just an I. I guess it depends on the English.
Yeah, spelling. I imagine it's originally spelled with a bunch of like kanji characters, so there's probably some interpretation there.
Right. So they spelled it Gojaira.
Maybe that's how you spell it in Portuguese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does it give you atomic breath? Ginger, you can be the judge.
As long as it's not atomic farts.
Atomic butt like, breath.
You can brush your teeth, but...
Yeah, I can brush my butt.
You can't shove enough potpourri in your butthole to make your farts smell good.
If you do brush your butt, I recommend using a different brush.
Yeah.
And not mine. Yeah.
Get a Sonicare. Clean that up
real
good.
The electric one might be fun.
I'll get a whole new one if that's what you're going to be doing with our electric toothbrush handle. You nasty.
So John, what are you drinking?
Oh, wait. What about a rating for Gojira?
Oh, yeah. Gojira. I'm going to give
job,
it.
Good job, John.
I didn't want to jump the gun again. I was terrified of that. I'm like, nope. Waiting until there's a window.
I don't know, it seems like I've been ranking a lot of beers around 4, 4.25. And yeah, I think all this one gets is 4.25 also. It's good. It's good. Happy. Not quite up to 5.
All right.
All right, well, if anyone remembers from the last time we were on the show, probably a couple of years ago, I don't really drink beer. So I guess I discovered recently that I kind of dig sours. Like if I'm going to drink a beer, I like me a good sour. I tried this key lime one at this place we did a show at recently, and so I went to the Out of Bounds Brewing Company in Folsom out here. We've got a couple breweries, and they have a kettle sour series. And because the girlfriend loves cherry so much, she saw it and she's like, "I'd love to try it." They had a cherry and a blueberry, but I got the cherry, and it's brewed with. Does it really say lactose and vanilla? Interesting. And it's a 7.5% alcohol by volume. So
it's probably going to be creamy with the lactose.
Like cherries and cream? That sounds tasty.
Okay, let's see.
Those were some of my favorite before.
Especially the kettle, fruity kettle sours.
That's pleasant.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
yeah, good. like the it's not biting like that lime one. It's not like cloyingly sweet, and it's not like turbo creamy. Like when people started saying creamy, I was thinking like a stout or like Guinness or something like that. But this is very pleasant. It's very smooth,
like good for like a summer's day, nice and refreshing.
Yeah.
Even
yeah, wow, okay.
Impressive.
I think I will I'll go ahead and give this a 4.5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna rate it pretty high.
Hell
yeah.
You know,
I listen to the ratings on your show and sometimes I'm like man, like there's a lot of really good beers out there, or you guys are just being very kind. because there's a lot of high ratings that come through. I mean, I don't hear a lot of like critical like this fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. It happens every once in a while. Yeah, but I mean, but generally, you're not going to buy something. You're not going to go to the store and be like, oh, that looks fucking awful. Like a blueberry turd ale? I don't even know what that means, but let's get it.
Yeah, I guess maybe for me, well, I'm taking so many more chances.
There's the brown note.
Sorry. The brown note?
There's a beer called the brown note. Oh, no. And it's a brown ale. And the can is like a guy basically shitting himself.
That's an interesting marketing move.
Yeah. I got it for you, yeah. Will. Oh, yeah, you I'll had it.
Yeah. We've done a couple shitty beers on here before, but you know, it sucks when you start the show with like a Michelada and then you got to go pour it in the sink and then you're doing the whole episode without a beer. So I usually try to go with a good one.
I'm sure you've got other beers lying around, Willie.
I still got one of those terrible pickle beers in the back of the fridge from Texas, so I might do a terrible pickle beer again one day.
Yeah, that's those beers you keep around for company. You know, if someone says, can I have a beer? I'd be like, yeah, there's this great pickle beer in there. Give that a shot.
That's why I've got those Pacificos in my fridge.
That's like my company whiskey, too. Yeah. Come on over, drink my whiskey. I'm not drinking it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ginger, let's take a quick break and then do Real Life XP.
Sounds good. This episode is brought to you in part by CartMart.games.
Independent Canadian retro online game store and more, from cartridges to tapes.
Shop smart. Shop CartMart.
Why did you get that line? I'm the one who looks like Bruce Campbell.
Whatever. CartMart has Game Gear, Super Nintendo, PS1, and all kinds of retro shit.
You're right. Shop smart. Shop CartMart. The game of the week is, you say that.
The game of the week is
Tenchu Stealth Assassins, PlayStation 1. So now it's time for Real Life XP.
TMCR LLC.
Select your player.
GRPVG. That was so cheesy, dude.
Nice.
Who wants to go first? Do we have a volunteer?
I'll go first. Why not?
Sweet. Right.
Well, what was interesting is I was thinking about the last time we were on the show. I think I was trying to come up with Real Life XP, and I was like, man, I don't really do anything. I got some work done on the comic book. And that was exactly where I was this time, too. I was like, shit, I didn't do anything this week except work on the comic. But I did remember something that I finally got around to doing. So I'm gonna acknowledge it for myself. I'm gonna pat myself on the back. So for years, I've been telling myself that I should just crack open some Playboys and just use that as photo reference and just draw from it. You know, like I'm always drawing from my head, but I'm hardly ever using photo reference. Or, you know, life drawing is not a thing right now. Well, it might be now that things have lightened up a little bit. I don't know. But I went ahead and cracked open a vintage Playboy and sat down with the centerfold model, whose name I don't remember now. Whoops.
You scumbag.
I know, whatever. And I used it as photo reference. I was just, you know, basically drawing from life. And it felt really good and clean and just... It felt nice to be drawing something that was photo real, or I mean, drawing from something that's realistic.
Some titties.
they weren't all titties.
The purest Playboy magazine of all time.
Nah, they.
I looked for the biggest bush to draw, man.
Well, and also, I mean, not to sound like snooty or anything, but this was an issue that I picked up recently from 1963 because I'd watched a Playboy like drama series on Amazon. I was like, man, I want to see what early Playboy was like, where it was like a lifestyle magazine, you know, before it was like the Playboy of our childhood, where it was just kind of trashy, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was still the classy one of the big three, but yeah, it was very pleasant pictorials. It wasn't trashy, wasn't smutty. Drew some, I don't know. It was fun. So I'm gonna go ahead and give myself. You can decide if this is wrong or not, but I'm going to give myself 10,000 points for that, but I'm going to subtract 5,000 points from that for having taken so goddamn long to finally getting to it.
Now you need to go get yourself an early Playgirl and do some male figure drawing.
Draw some dicks.
Yeah. Is your ding-dong game up to snuff? I mean, when's the last time you drew a big old dick, John?
Oh, I don't even know, man. Because, you know, going to art school, it really was, I mean, I guess I was in cartoon college, but it really was like that Family Guy sketch when I don't even remember the episode because it was from early on, when they're in like a figure drawing class and he's like, do I draw the penis? You know, like that is kind of how it is for a bunch of just out of high school, you know, impressive cartoon dorks. Oh, I don't know. Should I draw this old man's dick? I don't know.
You got to draw a big old wang pissing into a jug.
Ah, yeah. A veiny triumphant motherfucker.
Yep. Sounds good. And then when you redecorate your artist studio with all Playboy and Playgirl centerfolds, then we'll give you another 200,000.
Just draw a big veiny one pissing into a jug with like where the veins spell out GRPVG.
Sounds like it should be like a neon sign on somebody's wall.
Well, side note, Ginger brought some fresh ball jars today for making kombucha in, and on the side of it, there's a photo of a ball jar in the official ball case, and it's full of yellow liquid. I don't know how many people make apple juice and put it in ball jars, but I don't think it's very many. So
that made my heart so happy. They are selling piss jars. It's just fucking great.
I mean, that's probably your favorite part of Batman v Superman, right? Where it's like Granny's peach tea with the piss in it.
Of course.
All right.
I say still 10,000, John.
Okay. Well, I'll let it happen. I've got a reasonable amount of pride this time around, but I've also still got guilt. I can never get rid of that guilt. I always feel like I've done something wrong.
Got to get you an 80s one or maybe like some heavy metal magazines.
Yeah.
You could draw some big old anime titties.
Who ordered all this fucking anime titty?
Okay, for my real life XP, I drove up to the UP and went to an island.
Yep.
Danish island. We only stayed for one night because the people who I heard were going to be up there weren't. So we just went and slept in the Jeep and checked out a beach and waved at Canada and then came back home the next day.
Yeah, sleeping in the Jeep was something else.
Yeah, they're not sizable.
And it was when the full moon came out, dude. So that fucker was like a spotlight up where there's no fucking light.
It was cloudless, and so yeah, it was bright outside.
That woke me up. I thought someone had a spotlight on our Jeep. It's like, what are you doing here?
I didn't do anything, officer.
So I think that's worth a good 5-hour drive, so how about 11,000 points, one for about every hour of driving.
So, realistically, I drove more.
half credit for being a passenger?
11.
So you were more engaged with the steering wheel, and I had to, like, stay conscious without that to, like, pay attention to.
That's fine. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, okay. It sounds like you're in trouble later.
I almost want to piggyback off of his real life XP, but bring my own twist on it. I got to shit in the woods looking at Canada. It was real great.
Take that, Canada.
I was like, ah, Canada, here, you're giving me such relief. Oh, sorry, ducks, am I shitting in your, like, front porch? yeah, we drove up to Nevis Island, kind of a day trip for my birthday earlier this week, and it was a very quaint island.
So were you shitting at Canada on
not
your
much
birthday?
There. I wasn't shitting in the woods on my birthday. It
the
was
day
like
before.
A couple days before. Yeah. It was the day before. So it was a nice nature shit.
Yeah. Those are great.
I mean, now I want a squatty potty because I was like, damn, that was an easy shit.
I've got 5 acres.
There was nowhere to like sit over and like... There was nothing.
I've got 5 acres, and I've toyed with the idea of like putting a toilet just out in the yard somewhere where no one can see me, so I could just take a shit out in the outside. It'd be wonderful.
So you don't have to walk all the way back.
Yeah, I mean, I already pee almost exclusively outside, so I might as well shit out there too.
You might as well. Did you ever see the toilets that you can like bring along with you, like their portable toilets at Cabela's?
Oh yeah, yeah, they like fold up.
Yeah, you could just put one of those out there.
Yeah, but we used to go camping with some neighbors of ours, and she had one of those and like a little tent that went around it. So when we'd go camping, we'd just dig a little hole, set one of those down on the ground, and they had like a little privacy tent, your own little outhouse.
Hell yes.
That would be funny to do that with, like, if we still had Albert's old pop-up train tent, and it's like, you know, it's like 3 foot high.
But like one of Thomas the Train.
It was 3 train cars, but one of them had a hole in the roof, so you could have the toilet sitting inside it and like sit there with your head popping out the top. That'd be awesome.
That's Thomas the Train Engine thing.
You know, this whole time I've been sitting here thinking about, like, you know, it's been a long time since I've been camping and everything, but I've got a reasonable amount of anxiety. Like, I wouldn't be able to use Ben's like outdoor toilet here or something. I don't know. But for some reason, the one where you're like blocked but your head's popping out works. Like even like the full enclosure seemed stressful. Like, is Ben gonna come over and like knock it over while I'm in there? But like, if I can see what's happening and nobody can see me, that sounds pretty good.
I'll have to share a picture of this toilet when we went camping this other place. It was like a 3-wall, and then there was like no door, but it was like an outhouse. But it like came to about your shoulders, so people couldn't see. But you could like shit in the woods. Okay, 11,000 for right. Shitting in the woods.
Okay.
When I was in Boy Scouts, we had we were on like a backpacking trip, and we came up to like a, on the trail there was like a like an outhouse thing, and we're like, okay, cool, this is beats squatting, and so everyone was like excited to take the opportunity to take a dump, while like seated on something, but like we walk in and it's just it's like a bench with 4 holes in it, about 20 inches apart each, and that's it. So we're all just like, well, we got to shit. So, yeah, I shat next to 3 other dudes, elbow to elbow. It was pretty fucking weird.
No.
Like everybody would just, you just tell her, be like, all right, I got to wipe. And everyone else would be like, all right, look the other way.
No way, man.
That's Roman style, yeah. Right?
Like I think about like the military, and like there's a lot of stuff to be worried about, like going into the military, but just like the idea of having to just stare at somebody right across from you as you're taking a shit, even if you're on a toilet. I don't know why, man. Like I've got shitting anxiety. Like wow.
So that's like an intimate setting, and not like, you know, sexual intimate. That's like shit intimacy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. brings you all together. Oh, it's boy. A shared experience.
Is that your real life XP pack?
Oh yeah, that was too long ago. That was like some level 2 shit.
Yeah, that got you a good like 250,000. Like that leveled you up a couple levels back then. Wow.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
We'll have to find a picture of the how do you poop versus or co-op. And like the co-op one is one toilet with like a big long seat, one big long opening so multiple people can sit and poop in this bowl. And the Versus one is two toilets in a bathroom that are just
facing each other.
Like inside one stall.
Versus. Speed pooping. Who finishes first?
That is something you don't want to rush, dude. Yeah. Let that shit just come out.
I don't know if it's a competition, though. You're staring eye to eye with the other guy, just pushing as hard as you can.
A competition until, like, who can get the first what, hemorrhoids?
Is it whoever finishes first or whoever makes the first plop?
Yeah.
If you're just going for the first plop, that sounds more doable.
Then you got the next like 5 minutes to finish up and gloat.
Yep. Still working on that first
gloat
one, huh?
Until you smell the other person's shit, and then they're gloating.
Yeah, then it's just a test of wills. Like, who can stand it longer?
I would lose. I would lose to Will, hands down, very quickly. Probably right. The fart before.
Sorry for what we've done to your show today.
I was going to say, Ben, did you want to do other real life XP? Or
yeah.
Are you just counting that?
No, I mean, the one I brought to the show isn't gonna match that one, unfortunately. But
I think it's fortunate.
So no, my real life XP is I finally managed to grow a beard. Like, I've always had like a mustache and a goatee for a long time, but I think I can finally call this a beard like thing on my face. And this is my entire adult life I'd be like, I want to grow like an actual beard where there's hair on the side of my face too, and have not been able to pull it off. And I mean, this is barely pulling it off now, but this took about 2 months to grow this little shit on the side of my face here. But like, I'm in the mirror. I'm like, hey, I have a beard now. I'm happy about that.
Oh, that is jaw hair right there.
Goal accomplished. It's not quite thick enough yet. I'm going to shave the goatee off when this is thick enough and rock the chinless beard for a while, because that's something I've wanted for, you know, ever. But yeah, so I did something over the course of two and a half months that Will does in a weekend. But it's the first time I've ever done it, so that I think you get some there's some XP in there.
Okay, cool.
Hell yes, there is. How much are you gonna give yourself for your beard?
It's kind of like the inverse law of experience. It took me 39 years to grow a beard, so. 3,900 points?
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. We can always round it up to 4,000.
Round it up to 3,902.
No. I mean, it'll probably be by the time I'm 40 and, you know, I'm in it, until it's like really in properly, but, you know.
And we'll be right back with some games.
Flawless victory.
Welcome to Geeksploration, the podcast. I'm John Williams.
And I'm Ben Robinson. Do you like time travel?
Movies?
Video games?
Comics?
Sci-fi?
Cartoons?
Or how about action figures?
Well, so do we. Every episode, we pick a topic from the geekosphere and have a little chat about it.
So if you've been waiting for a groundbreaking podcast that does all of this and more, you might have what it takes to be a Geeksploronaut.
Come join us every other Tuesday for a fresh installment of Geeksploration, the podcast.
You can find us at geeksplorationpodcast.com or any reputable podcatcher. Likely a few unreputable ones.
Oh, hey, Ginger.
Yeah.
What game you play?
I play Crackdown for the Genesis. And this game sucks.
For the Genesis?
Crackdown, you say?
Yes. It's like a top-down, puzzle shooter-ish?
That's the top-down action game.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's on the Genesis, but I played it on the PlayStation 4 with the Genesis Classics.
Sega Collection, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right. I was like, what's this Crackdown game? It's bad.
Is that unless one word two player. Or two words?
I think it's two words. Crack. down. Oh my God, John Hess.
That's a pretty bit. That's a pretty cool cover, though.
Sorry if you like this game. I'm gonna shit all over it. So bad. It's like, I would say, a cheap rendition of Smash TV.
It's not really like a Smash TV, because Smash TV is like a dual stick shooter. This is more like Ikari Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I
yeah.
have never played that, so
it's like slower. You can shoot in eight directions still, but it doesn't quite work as good as like a Smash
or
TV.
Like the top down levels of a Super C.
Yeah.
You can like hide up against the walls to dodge the bullets, but you have to plant bombs and then get out of there, and then these time bombs blow up.
That is cool. Everything is kind of, you know, all the sprites are like grid based and the map is kind of like a grid. But if you're going down a hallway that's one space wide and an enemy shoots at you, you can stop and crouch up against the wall and the bullet will go right past you.
If you remember.
So I really did like that element of gameplay. You know, it wasn't just run in and blast. You could like, all right, I'll wait for them to shoot and I'll come in. And it gave it kind of some strategy to the
fight. Yeah, you weren't just fucked.
Yeah. It was much easier when Will was there helping. This is not a game for me. Not good at it.
But it is two player simultaneous co-op.
Nice.
Yep.
You play.
So that's nice.
You play in a split up screen anyways. So even if you're playing one player, they like the top quarter of the screen is cut off, and that shows a map in the middle of the overall play
field.
And
like your weapons.
And then the bottom three quarters is split in half, and you play on one of those halves. Even if you're playing one player, you only get
a quarter.
Like that one section of the screen.
Hold on. So in one player, you get a quarter of the screen to play on?
A little bit more than a quarter. Yeah, it's like a taller quarter.
Holy shit. Who the fuck thought of that? Like, this was back... This came out when, like, a big TV was 20 inches.
Yeah, 13-inch TVs. Like, woof.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck that even more. I never played this, like, when it first came out, because who the fuck is going to play this when they have Sonic?
Me?
Yeah.
Not me. I'm going to play Sonic.
Ben would. Ben doesn't like Sonic. He's a weirdo.
I don't know, this game sounded pretty cool until you said it was only a quarter of the screen. That's kind of lame. And the cover of the game looks pretty cool.
And
there's some...
It's
like,
the same for one player. Like, you get just that little square for one player.
It's not as noticeable when you're playing two player, because you each have your, you know, side of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But leaving one blank when you're playing one player is kind of lame. But
it's so
there's
dumb.
This awesome fucking poster for this with, like, there's, like, a zombie and, like, these two dudes look kind of stupid. I mean, there's, like, a monkey and an explosion. Some of the artwork, the official artwork for this game is
awesome. I'm looking
like
at one right now.
Satan goat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Satan goat one.
Yeah, there's the goat one.
I was going to ask, who's the enemy in this? Because on this picture I'm looking at right now, like the game art for it, there's clearly like Satan in the background, like a Satan goat guy. There's a castle in the background that's reminiscent of Dracula. There's just a fucking chimpanzee for no reason. Uh-huh. And then there's what looks like a storm.
Right.
It looks like there's a stormtrooper shooting flames out of his hands. So what is going on?
So it appears to be kind of like these, I don't know, military guys, and there are what looks to be apes in the game as well.
It's like in Blade Runner times, pretty much.
Level 3 or something like that? Because we got up to, like, level 4, and it seemed like...
We made it further than that, two-player. We made it up to, like, 7 or 8 or something. You could when we set it to easy, and we turned up the amount of lives...
Yes.
And, yeah, you start... You get, like, it's one-hit kill, but you get, like, 10 lives per game.
Yeah.
So you got a bunch of lives, and then you respawn right where you started. Fortunately, enemies respawn, too. But you gotta...
some levels, they respawn, like, fucking... How... If you can get them to respawn that quickly, you can get me to crouch up against the wall quickly, too. Fuck you, game.
Yeah, there's spots where they respawn as fast as, like, the monsters in Gauntlet.
Oh, jeez.
But You got to use the little map on top that shows you in red where all the bombs are, and you have to go activate all the bombs and then make it to the end of the stage and go out the door.
And it's easy. You just walk over the red X. It lays the bomb. You have a time. You don't have
to
press a
button to do that. Yeah.
Nope. You just walk over it. Time which limit. Is nice. And
then later on, they introduce like conveyor belts too, and then pools of lava and acid. And then there's one stage that was like all conveyor belt. That was tough.
It was awful. I think I used all the continues between the two player because he tried. He finally died. And I used them all up.
I used one of the five continues at least.
Yay. Yeah, it was much better two player than one player. So.
Fatality.
I didn't see any bathrooms or any like piss jugs or anything like that. The bullets were. You could like walk over like these blinking things for bullets or bombs. The electric park sucked too. There's like this spot where like chintzy things, electric floor, so you had to like cross it at a good time, and it was awful. But yeah, I won't be playing this game again.
You're not down with crack?
I'm not cracked down. And not crack either. Crack is whack.
Well, I'm kind of bummed this doesn't sound like an awesome game, because I would love to have this poster on my wall.
Which one is it, Ben?
The goat one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The goat one is wicked.
Yeah.
It's got one really angry...
The art is
Yeah,
sweet.
One really angry guy firing his gun, and then like a happy-looking Tobey Maguire shooting the other gun.
Yeah. That
it's
art
worth,
was
It's
sweet.
Worth playing co-op a few times, figure it out. Yeah.
And maybe you'll like it. More than I.
What'd you play it on?
I played it on the PlayStation 4. There's a Sega like collection on there. A bunch of
or it's on the Sega Genesis.
Sega games.
Who knows? It might be coming to the Switch with the new service. I don't know.
Look, but it kind of made me sad, honestly, because I'm sure you can... I was a Sega kid. And, like, a lot of these Sega games, I'm just like, God, they're so fucking bad.
Well, that's how they get you with those collections. They put, like, two good games you know in there, and then a bunch of turds that no one ever wanted to replay.
I technically bought it for Kid Chameleon.
All right,
that game
there you go.
Awesome. So, it's all good.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
What game you play?
I just finished it the other night. I went through and... played A Night in the Woods. It's
Cool. I heard that's about just in time. It's about to leave.
Yeah, that's why I'd started playing it a long time. My daughter started playing it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And I started playing it like 4 months ago or something like that. And then I saw that it was going off at the end of the month, and I was like, oh, I want to finish that game. So I put in the time to finish it. I played it all via the cloud gaming on my phone. I have like a little like mount that mounts my phone on top of an Xbox controller, so I can use the Xbox controller. And I'd started playing this one because I wanted to see how the cloud gaming was, and I it's not like a first person shooter or something where you need a lot of where the frame rate really matters. If it had some tearing and stuff, it's not really going to be a big deal. And so I used it as a test game, but it's really good. I liked it a lot. It's the story of this girl, May, who comes back from college or comes back home after dropping out of college to like her Rust Belt dying town. And kind of, she's 20. And so she's kind of getting to know again her friends that stayed in town. And there's some odd goings on in town. And there's a bit of a mystery that you solve, and it gets pretty weird at the end, and like almost cosmic horror-y to a degree, and went some directions that I wasn't expecting it to. But it's got really fun dialogue between all the different characters, and you kind of spend your days kind of learning. Like the mechanic of the game is you kind of go around and you talk to people and it expands the story. It's a very narrative driven game. There's not a whole lot of action. It's got like a little bit of platforming and stuff here and there, but it's mostly narrative based. The only thing that kind of drug for me was there's these dream sequences and they were a bit repetitive. Like you kind of do the same thing like 8 or 9 times. And I was glad when like they didn't happen one time. And I was like, oh, good. We're done with those. like they're kind of interesting and atmospheric at first, but there was just too many of them. But it's a fun one. I think it goes off Game Pass before this will air. So,
tough shit.
Yep. Go buy it if you want to play
but,
it.
But I mean, I think it's only like $15 or something. It's an indie game. So I would say it would be worth buying. I'm probably not going to buy it since I already beat it. But it was good. It was a good experience as a game, and it has a cool, like has a like a pleasing art style. And like the I really liked the, her.
Are all the characters humans, or no, are they like talking they animals?
Are, yeah,
and
they
stuff?
Yeah, they are all talking animals. There are no humans, so everyone's just a various animal types. May is a cat, and her friends are like she's got like a fox, a bear, and an alligator. Or her like core friend group.
Those animals would never be friends in real life.
John!
Oh boy.
It's a game. Yeah.
It does not get into interbreeding at all. So like her parents both happen to also be cats, but like what happens when a crocodile falls in love with a marmoset? I'm curious.
Wait until John hears about Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that fucking Animal Crossing.
I haven't visited Dick Shadow in a while. Anyway.
But
are there any bathrooms in this game?
So then? Most of the way through it, I knew you would ask me that question. I was like, man, I haven't seen a single bathroom. But there is one scene where you get to trash a bathroom at a donut shop. There was no using of the facilities other than like clogging up the toilets and throwing wads of toilet paper on the wall and scratching mirrors and shit.
At a donut shop, were there just pigs lined up at this donut shop? Were there just pigs lined up at this donut shop?
You know, there wasn't any pigs. They really missed an opportunity there.
Oh, they totally did.
But I don't remember seeing a single pig in the game anywhere. They had like a ton of other animals, but I don't remember seeing a pig.
Fucking racist.
Yeah, they fucking
speciesist.
And life was okay there, right? In this town?
Oh, no. Like I said, it's a dying Rust Belt town. They had a cop, but the cop was a cat because she's related to you. So. It was, it's good though. I would recommend it. It was fun. It was it's mostly dialogue driven. Like you go like lots and lots of speech bubbles, but the dialogue is well written.
Hey, John.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. What game are you playing?
Well, I'm really torn right now because there's a game that I spent a lot of time playing and then there's a game that I started playing. And the one that I started is more interesting because the one I played a bunch of this week was Grand Theft Auto Online because I recently got Game Pass and Xbox Live again. So I've been playing it online again, and it had been a long time, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. But the game I would like to talk about, even though I only played the beginning of it, so I can't speak to the whole game, is Superliminal on the Game Pass. Have you guys played that?
I downloaded it, but I haven't started it
so,
yet. Is it Superliminal?
I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah. Superliminal?
The general idea, like if I had to boil down to the game's message to one sentence, is like a phrase that they have in there that I may be paraphrasing, but it says perception is reality. So it's a game where you're essentially like you're going into a sort of facility to be part of an experiment where you're put into like a dream state and you have to figure out puzzles and shit and you're finding your way through rooms and like you're grabbing objects and you can you're basically messing with reality to where you can like alter the size of things and you can alter, I don't know. You have to find a way to get like through rooms by using objects and using your surroundings and manipulating them. And there's you know, as far as I've gotten in the game, I did a bunch of stuff with the objects, you know, during in the beginning tutorial, and then in the level coming out of that, there's a lot of like perceptive, like optical illusions. You're looking down a hallway, and as you go down the hallway, you realize that it's, you know, something that's sticking out from the wall, creating this illusion, or it's a hallway that goes even further back, and you know, it's got a general, just really creepy vibe to it, because you're all alone and with your senses, and you're trying to figure out where you are, what you're doing, how to get out of where you are. And like, even though it doesn't follow this any sort of plot points at all of this, but it gives me the same feeling I get when I'm watching Twin Peaks, you know, where it's just, it's eerie and creepy, and I'm really enjoying it. I want to play it a lot more. I know Ben and his son played it a bunch more than I did this week, but it is it's really, really interesting. And I'm not great with puzzle games, so I was playing it with the girlfriend, because the two of us together do a lot better. Yeah, I recommend it thus far. Or whoops, sorry, we're not there yet.
Nice.
I'm mixing up my segments.
I played
I also
it for
recommend
about
the beer I drank.
I played it for about 4 hours last night. And it is fun. It's a lot of lateral thinking. Like, you have to approach a lot of things thinking, you know, kind of, I'm trying not to say outside the box, because it's such a cliche shit.
Yeah,
saying,
yeah, but you have to, like you look at something and you go, okay, I could logically do it like this, and you have to think illogically. Like, you have to think like, oh, wait, no, like, how could I do this outside of the logical way? Like, well, like if I need to manipulate something, how could I manipulate this to serve my purposes?
Yeah, or use the environment and your perspective to your advantage. It's pretty clever. I found that it wasn't like I was going through it and getting stuck at a few spots and then figuring it out. It was like the right level of trickiness, where like they're not being super obtuse, like, and like once you figure something out, you're like, okay, yeah, I totally see that now. It's kind of lateral thinking, but it is but it's not like you know, that was just stupid hard and
yeah,
you get frustrated.
It's like a good riddle, where like once, like, even if you can't accomplish it, once you see how it's accomplished, you go, oh, that's fucking smart, like I could have gotten that if I would have given it some more effort. But if there's a riddle where it's just like, you know, where there's no possible way you could have gotten it, or a murder mystery, you know, then you're just like, well, fuck you. Why are you wasting my time? You know, like, I'm okay with not getting something.
Are there
piss jugs in bathrooms?
Jugs?
Not as far as I've seen. Did you see any, Ben?
No, I don't. I didn't encounter any bathrooms. There are lots of trash cans. You could piss in trash cans, I guess, if you wanted.
Absolutely. I was going to say vases can be pissed
I'm sure
as well.
There are.
And a majority of James, James, a majority of James, there we go, majority of games have fucking, like, some kind of vase or some kind of utensil in it.
Talking about a lot of dumps this episode, and trash cans are better for taking dumps.
Yeah, a good sturdy one you could sit on.
You could balance.
Yeah.
If you're short,
right,
like me.
It.
If you're a giant like Ben and John, you can just squat over it.
Superliminal 2, it kind of gave me it definitely seems like, I don't know if it's taking inspiration from her, but it kind of has the same vibe as kind of like, it reminded me a bit of like the Stanley Parable. Or like the first Portal, kind of that feel as you're going through it, because you've got kind of got like a computer that talks to you, and they're kind of going for that same vibe.
Nice.
So Willie, what'd you play?
I was about to say to him, like, I'm not gonna control this show. I already did it with the rain.
I've been playing a lot of the next game in the Yakuza series, Yakuza 2. So this continues the story of Kiryu.
Daddy Kiryu, yeah! Daddy Kiryu.
It's about 1 year after Yakuza 1. No, that's all right.
Epic. Look, I can have my sexy daddy video game Kiryu. Yep. All right. So leave me alone.
And so each of these games could be like a long season of a TV show. They play out in chapters, and there's like all this Yakuza drama that plays out. Over, like, in this one, the Goryu clan is gonna fight with the Toho clan that Kiryu used to work for. He's ex-Yakuza. Then there's also this Korean gang, Kyo Wing, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But they came in, like, 36 years ago. The police couldn't handle this Korean gang, so the Toho clan went and wiped them all out. But they didn't kill a couple of them, and so they're coming back for revenge.
Big mistake.
Like fucking cockroaches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this, like, cute young police girl who worked her way up, and she takes Daddy Kiryu into protective custody.
Yeah, you said Daddy Kiryu. Thank you.
And so the story mostly focuses on her and Kiryu and, like, the adventures they gotta... Goryu clan is headed up by this one guy who's got cool pork chops that I'm gonna try and copy. He's like Japanese dude with blonde hair, and he's got like these big J-shaped sideburns that go underneath his chin.
Nice.
And he's like the only one with honor in this clan. Like, one of the dudes like came in and he was like all holding the woman of the just deceased head of the clan. And like, oh yeah, I've wanted her for a while, and I'm going to come in and take over. And this blonde dude who's on his side, who wants to take over, comes in and fucking kills him. Is like, no, Kiryu, I'm bringing all my guys to fight you in 3 days. And then like the next day, there's another slime ball guy, and they kidnap Haruka, who is the daughter of the blind girl from the first game. Well, she was blind in the Zero, and then she could see later in One. But then she died, and her daughter is here and gets kidnapped. And the bad guy coming to fight you at the end of the game, like, kills another one of his partners because he's taken this kid hostage. And he's like, no, that's not honorable. Fuck you. Kiryu will be back to fight you again in 2 days. And then...
Whoa.
And then, holy spoilers, shit. It turns out this police girl was an infant child of this Jingwan gang back in the day. And so this revenge is being taken out in, like, the name of her mother, too. And a couple other guys. And that's most of the story.
Yep. There's bathrooms.
Yeah. Goro Majima is back, too, before the bathrooms. Mm. And he's the guy with the eye patch. This time he's back, and he quit the mafia, but he owns Purgatory. He bought it and started a construction company there. And so there's a whole... Most of the game... I don't know if... I didn't even say it. The gameplay is like a beat-em-up with RPG elements.
Yeah, Will.
I've just been talking about the story. Jesus Christ.
That's what I was going to ask.
That's
what I was going to ask, because I've never actually played any of the Yakuza games.
Well, is it a game or a movie?
But I've heard good things about them, but I've never played one.
They're great.
It's like a beat-em-up in 3D. Like a final fight, you know, if you were free-roaming in a Japanese neighborhood.
Interesting.
Sometimes Yakuza will come up and start a fight with you. Sometimes street punks. Sometimes hoods. There's nuevo rich dudes wearing gold suits. They'll pick fights with you and you get more money from them. You can hit all the vending machines on the streets. You have like a hunger gauge and you can visit all the restaurants. If you eat food, it refills your health.
Dude, the pictures of the food in this game, like... Did I say good? Did I misspeak? I don't know. We were talking at the same time. It makes you hungry because it's like real fucking food in like this little like picture. It just looks amazing.
Yeah, I should just say that's all you need to know about the story, because there's so much. One of the guys who runs like the Sparkle nightclub... You rescue him from the Korean gang, and he's like, thanks, I've been held captive for like 6 months. But he's been at the club the whole time, and they had like a Korean dude who looked just like him take his place and like run this club.
Interesting.
So this is like crazy, crazy story.
There's
shit.
A lot. Well, there's a lot to it, too.
And lots of fighting.
The side quests.
You'll have a cutscene in the city, and it's like, all right, well, now I got to go to Toho headquarters. And so you leave the building you're in, and you go and you take a taxi cab you go to this headquarters. That's a place you can only go to when there's like cutscenes.
Yep.
So you pay for the cab and you go there, and there's like 3 cutscenes, and then you jump back in a cab and go back to the city. And so it was all just storytelling. There was no reason for you to even leave other than storytelling.
Well, there's arcades as well in this. Is there a bug game or like a lady wrestling game in this one?
There's not.
Because there's usually something.
There's no lady wrestling in this one.
I'm kind of disappointed.
The Sega arcades are a little disappointing. There's Virtua Fighter 2 and Virtual On.
Mm. Yeah, I remember both of those.
On is like it's a first or third person mech fighting game from like the early 90s. So it's pretty shitty controls, you know, turning and flying around in this little arena to fight.
I remember when I got my Sega Saturn and it came with the disc with Virtua Fighter 2 on it included. And I loved the shit out of that game. I thought Virtual On was cool too. I mean, it wasn't something that I would ever buy again if I bought another Saturn, but
yeah. There was one mission where Haruka wanted me to win 3 fights in a row in Virtual On, and it's the arcade version of the game. And I don't know, I didn't put enough time into it to be able to beat the third guy. I beat the first 2 with a couple different fighters, but I just couldn't beat the third guy.
Aren't there like 8 of those Yakuza third games now? There's like a shit ton of them in there.
I saw a bunch on Game Pass.
Yeah.
0-6 starring Kiryu, and then Like a Dragon stars a new protagonist, and they make it turn-based instead of like a beat-em-up
like
game.
Like a Dragon.
Oh, interesting.
So 0-6 are the only good ones because Kiryu Daddy's in it.
No. All right, so should I talk about the mini games first or the bathrooms first?
Oh, I hope they're both the same topic.
Or should I?
I want bathroom mini games.
Should I talk about the mini game that takes place in the bathroom first?
Oh yes. My god, this shit!
Have you guys heard of Sega's toilets? TOYLETS?
No.
It's a product that they actually made and released in Japan, and it puts a pressure sensor in the urinal, and you control the game by peeing on the pad. And in this game, you can go to the arcade, and if you've had enough, if your bladder is full, you can go and play the toilet. And you use the one shoulder button to increase flow, and use the other shoulder button to decrease flow. And one of the games is called Milky Nose. And the graphics while you're playing is 2 guys like at a lunch table who are spraying milk at each other through their nose and trying to knock the other guy out of the ring. That's Milky Nose. I've never won that one. And then the other one is called like I don't know, Windy Day, Sun and Moon or something. And like your flow controls the this cloud that's blowing wind, and you're trying to blow the clothes off of this young girl. And so yeah, you just blow her dress up and blow her clothes off.
So are these like real games that you could play with this actual thing?
This toilet? Yeah, real toilet in real life?
Yes, it's a real thing you actually can, and it's in this Yakuza game.
I want to get one.
It was a project. Do you have a urinal?
I mean, I've got a wall I could put it on.
He's got a wall on the side of his house.
Yeah, I don't care where the pee goes after that. So I guess follow-up question.
And
your character has a bladder meter? Like, is that a persistent thing in the game?
He has a hunger meter that's a persistent thing in the game. I'm not quite sure. It doesn't show like a bladder next to the stomach. But I mean, once you go use the toilet,
you can't do it again right away.
But if you go play toilet, if you try and go back in, he says, I don't need that right now.
You gotta go chug 3
but
beers.
If you pull a couple of beers out of your pockets and drink a couple beers, you can go back in and play again.
I gotta give these a shot, man.
Has pocket beers.
Yeah.
There's an alcohol or a drunkenness meter too that goes from 0 to 8. So if you drink too many beers, it's really hard to walk straight. You stumble all over.
I love games that you can get drunk in. It's so fun to be drunk in games.
Yeah. Purgatory is still there, and that entrance to Purgatory is still through a secret door in the third stall of the men's room in a public park. And that's where Majima runs this construction company that's like the main, one of the two main mini games where it's like a real-time strategy tower defense game. And you can recruit people throughout this world who will come and fight for Majima and defend his construction material from thugs who work for the Three Musketeers. The Three Musketeers in this game are like real estate developers.
I'm going to have to check this game out. It's one of those ones that's been on my periphery for a long time. Yakuza 2, was this like a PS3 era game?
Yeah, but there's a remastered Xbox version with like high def graphics. Cool. So.
Yep. All on Game Pass.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I recruited like at the Fighting Coliseum down in Purgatory. After I beat some dudes, I got this ninja dude to come work for Majima Construction. I got a gimp dude who wears like red tights and like a ball gag and has like assless red tights. He is working there. There's a mama from her bar who she used to work at the Stardust Club back when she wasn't a she, but then she left and became her true self at this club, and Kiryu's like helping her out. He's like, yeah, I don't know, if you're not a slime ball, I'll help you out.
Yep.
And is like non-judgmental about the gimps, the cross-dressers, the sex workers, anybody.
Yeah, that's why Kiryu is daddy.
You can go rent a booth with like a 23-inch TV with a VCR built in, and you can go watch dirty tapes there. There's like a little box of Kleenex. And he like makes a happy face when he's done watching it.
Or he like goes into it like, what is that?
To look close.
It's so silly.
There's another part where you go to a photography business where you can pay to take photos of these girls. And so they're modeling different outfits, and if you beat one outfit, you can unlock another outfit. And so you're not actually taking pictures, you're constructing sentences out of these strings of words they give you. And you have to make your sentences actually be grammatically correct. And then she'll respond to them and like change, and it'll go to a different scene. And so like each video thing has like three or four different
But these segments. Are like real videos of like real women. Like not
Japanese
cartoon.
Models working for the game.
Oh,
yep.
Weird.
That's why it's creepy. I don't like it. Like, this is so awful. Like, I don't know.
It's not like the last game. It's not like in one where you can take them on dates and.
Yeah, that's true.
I never did get a date in one from that hotline where you can call and talk to girls. I gotta go back to that.
Yeah, it's you should be able to with Kiryu, Daddy.
There was one sub story. There's so many different mafia families. This guy has like the smaller mafia family. And his guys pick a fight with you. You beat up like six of his guys. And then my boss comes down and he's like, hey, I'm sorry, man. Here, let me give you some cash to say I'm sorry. Everybody says they're sorry by giving people cash. Which, I don't know if that's Japanese or just in a video game, but...
Makes everything better.
People will be like, oh, man, you just fucking bumped into me. Just give me 100,000 yen and we'll walk away and I won't have to kick your ass. Like, all right, I'm sorry. Here's 100,000 yen.
I mean, jeez, it's like being in Mexico.
I could think of worse ways to apologize. You know, right. I'll be more open to your apology with a fistful of money.
But this one, my boss takes you up to a club, and you go into a room, and there's a girl dressed in like a kind of a baby outfit, but there's like a children's blanket on this bed, and she said something about how you like your milk, and you had three options.
Oh, no.
About like a bottle or something. And I did the one. I like boobs. But yeah, he figures out that she's there to breastfeed him. She gives him a diaper. She's like, you got to put this diaper on first. That's when he stands up and like knocks down the fake walls. And over in the next room, there's like eight beefy Yakuza guys all in diapers. Like rolling around on the floor, like shaking rattles, and there's like three girls taking care of them.
Holy shit!
And then because you're not into it, they get mad at you, and then you got to beat them up while they're in diapers.
This is a lot goofier than I suspected it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like serious stuff in it, but there's some real shenanigans going on.
Yeah, if you stick to the story, it'll be like a serious Yakuza movie. But then if you go do like the side quests, crazy shit will happen. I heard from Nick Weiger, he played Yakuza 0 for How Did This Get Played recently. And he's kept playing it because he wanted to 100% like the real estate game there. But he went and did one mini game where there's bowling in Zero. And the lady says, hey, if you bowl a turkey, then I'll give you a prize. And so he's stuck with the bowling enough to bowl a turkey. And she says, all right, well, as a reward, I'll give you a turkey. And instead, it was a chicken. So he got a live chicken as a reward for bowling a turkey. And then the chicken became a manager at the real estate company. So he could hire the chicken to like watch a neighborhood for a week.
God bless Japan. Those guys.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of mini games in this too. You can play Hanafuda, you can play Shoji, you can play darts, blackjack, poker. Let's see, there's not slot car racing. There's the batting cages with two different modes of playing the batting cages.
Golf?
Yep, there's a golf range where you can play bingo golf or closest to the pin golf. Yeah, there's still the karaoke. Fuck the karaoke.
It's just because you're playing on the Xbox controller and you know Nintendo controls a little more, and it's kind of opposite.
And I don't really want to play a rhythm game with a controller.
Yeah, that's one of the other things that I didn't really get with Night in the Woods. Like,
here's some shit that we know we missed.
Here's some shit that we know we missed.
Here's some shit that we know we missed.
There's a rhythm mini game in it because you're in a band and you play bass. And I was shit at it constantly. But thankfully, you don't have to do it very often. Oh, nice. It also had like a mini game dungeon crawler that I played for a while. But then abandoned because it was about to go off Game Pass, and I figured I better beat the actual game instead of wasting my time playing this other one.
Is that it, Will?
Yeah, that's it. The other main like side quest game is the management of the club, where guys come in and pay money to sit with girls, and you're the manager of this club, and so you can actually hire girls throughout like the city. I'm not a huge fan of this game. You gotta match up like sexy, smart, cute girls to the guys who are attracted to that. You gotta like jump in, like if there's a problem, the girl will like say something and you press triangle to go to her table. And then you gotta like read the guy's motions, like, oh, is he like threatening to hit her? Gotta say no violence. Like dang. Or, you know, is she like signaling to empty the ashtray? I gotta empty the ashtray for her. But
jeez.
I just hired this like horny old lady who was wearing this leopard print, so I want to go run this club again. Have the old lady.
She jumped on Kiryu, Daddy.
Okay. There's lots more, but that's it for this episode.
Wow, you used up all the Bomberman stage music. Yakuza 2, right?
Yakuza 2.
Yakuza also.
Now it's time for
recommendations.
Do do.
Will, why don't you go first?
All right, I'm gonna recommend one quick that we haven't re-recommended since we reset our recommendation stage, but we binged it a lot on our road trip. On 11 hours in the car, we probably listened to 9 hours of the No Sleep podcast.
It's a good one.
Must be.
Scary just, stories. Yeah.
Oh, is it like audio drama?
Mm-hmm.
Audio drama, spooky stuff. Most episodes are standalone. They will occasionally link a story together through multiple episodes.
But not often.
Most times you get 1 to 5 stories in an episode that might creep you out a little bit. Might scare you.
Mm-hmm. Or it might make you laugh.
Uh-huh.
Because the scariness is just silly.
Or the
each season has a different theme where they'll tell like an overall story. with like little narration skits connecting the stories together. That's more recent rather than the older stuff, but
yep.
So is it all created by like the good same show. Team?
Mm-hmm. And they'll have new voice actors. Well, people submit their scary stories and then they make them into like the audio drama.
They also have lots. If you listen to any audio drama, you might recognize some of the authors, like David Cummings or S.H. Cooper, Nicole Goodnight, just to name a few. Yep. Arthur Atticus.
Atticus Jackson.
Atticus Jackson.
That's a proper name right there.
Atticus is a sweet name. I
just heard it with music, like Atticus Jackson. Woo!
I am for real. That's it. Ginger, what you got?
Do I have a recommendation yet?
You don't need one. You can skip it. John, what do you got?
I've got a podcast that I believe I've talked about on our on our show before. But it's the With Gorley and Rust podcast. I'm not sure who they are with right now. I believe they weren't with Earwolf ever. I don't know. But it's Matt Gorley and Paul Rust, and they take on a horror franchise every season. Yeah. So it started with, it was originally called...
Aren't they with Team Conan now? Is that the same Gorley?
It is the same Gorley, because he's the producer on the Conan O'Brien podcast. I'm not sure if... I don't think this show is on that network, not sure. But it was originally in Voorhees We Trust with Gorley and Rust, where they were talking about Friday the 13th movies. But then they expanded. They talked about Halloween and Friday the 13th. They just wrapped up a shark season. And they did a season of one-offs. But I think that show is so much fun to listen to. I know some people it's a little tough for. Like, my girlfriend can't handle it because... You know, it's all just off the cuff, and it's not, there's a lot of like uhs and ums and pauses and tangents and stuff. So if that sort of thing bothers you, then I don't know. But it runs long. They call it like the at length cozy cast, because each episode is at least 2.5 hours long. They've gone as long as like 4 hours. Like they had to split one into two episodes because it reached the limit that I think it was Stitcher actually. So maybe that's who they're with. Would allow for a single episode. But I love that show. I came to it after listening to James Bonding with Matt Gorley and Matt Myra. So that I'm very entertained by this duo. They're a lot of fun.
And then I decided to bring to your guys' episode a show that I recommended to you. Since you hadn't heard of it, maybe your listeners hadn't either. The Improvised Star Trek podcast. It's been dead for a while, which is unfortunate, but I think they stopped making them about a year and a half ago, maybe. But COVID. But there's a load of fucking episodes up online, and if you're a Star Trek nerd and you like improvised comedy, it's a fucking gold mine. Because these guys, it follows the adventures of instead of like the Enterprise, where it's the start, you know, like kind of like the flagship of the Federation, these guys are kind of like the butt of the jokes. They're like the ass end of the Federation, where they stick all the fuck ups.
Nice.
And
it's like the Komodo.
Yeah, and it's fucking it's hilarious. It like you could tell these guys have a lot of reverence and a lot of knowledge for Star Trek lore, and that, you know, like they've put their time in, like they are all Star Trek fans, but it is, they get into some crazy hijinks. It's got Matt Smith from
Doctor Who.
Matt
works at Rayleigh's.
Matt works at Rayleigh's. Yeah, no, that's not Matt Smith. It's the Usador.
No.
Usador from Magic Tavern. Matt.
Okay.
What the fuck's
his
last name?
I know
name?
Who you're referencing now. I don't know his name. It's been a while since I listened to
him. He's in it.
Usador! Yeah.
he's the
That was actually going to be my recommendation. Yeah.
That's a good one. But it's got a bunch of the folks that you hear on there. I think it's kind of a lot of the same crew, and it is an absolute gem. It's probably one of my top five podcasts ever. So go listen to that shit.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like Mamre Alpha, but they're an RPG with improvised Star Trek humor.
Oh, that's
four women do a Star Trek.
Okay,
role
so you did say Mamre Alpha. Okay,
on the Komodo. Yeah,
that sounds fun. I'll check that out.
They spent a lot of time on Ryza.
Uh-huh. They're into the space drugs and.
It's so funny, but yeah, I'm gonna recommend Hello from the Magic Tavern.
You can't do that. JD just did that a few episodes ago.
JD, one of our patrons.
JD, you were right.
Said something about it, and I've been wanting to binge this shit. And we've started from the beginning, and it's so fucking funny. It's so funny. I want to recommend it again. Okay. I don't care.
Hey, you know, a few episodes in, when Ben recommended it to me, Matt Gourley and his wife showed up on there. I think they were playing real estate agents.
Yeah. They get a ton of guests on that show. Like it is. I agree with you, Ginger. The show is so funny. It's on my regular rotation.
It's ridiculous, and the way
they had Heather Ann Campbell on from How Did This Get Played?
Yep. The way Usador, like, he gets loud without, like, blowing out your ears, but you can tell he's, like, really, like, talking loud, and it just fucking makes me cry laugh. It's so stupid and so funny.
Ginger, we can do that if we look away from the microphone when we yell at each other.
No,
I think you peaked the shit out of that.
I'm filling my headset on. It'll work out fine in our recording, but just call me Toby. How much does this cost?
The one.
Shout out to Secret Levels.
It's an old episode we just listened to. Sarah when he has sex with the like
the memory goblin,
the mind.
The memory goblin. I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the memory
goblin. Oh, you guys have so much more. I almost envy you for how much content you have to enjoy still. Like, I've been caught up for years.
There's a lot.
Yeah, we're only like 20 or 30 episodes in.
So. Yes. Oh, it's so funny, though. Hello from Magic Tavern.
Seconded.
Yeah, I just downloaded a bunch of episodes. I'm gonna dive back in. It's been a while since I listened to it.
Oh, man. It makes me laugh so much.
John, Ben, do you guys want to plug Geeksploration? Anything else before we close out for the day?
Hell yeah, we do. Go listen to Geeksploration, the podcast. That's just a fifth recommendation here for all of you fine listeners.
Sixth or seventh, who's counting?
Yeah, we'll throw lots of them in here. Hell, why not do another? Another thing I want to plug is Space Oddities. That's our comic. We are going to be launching the Kickstarter for issue 2 in November.
Yep.
So you can go check out our website that I haven't updated in a year since we did the last Kickstarter. I'm going to need to do that real soon here. It's spaceoddities.comic.com.
Yeah, I mean, what is there to update besides, like, we're working on number 2?
Yeah, number 2 is live now. Yeah. Or you could follow that account on Twitter at Space Oddities Co. Because comic wouldn't fit.
Yeah. And if you want to follow progress on the art, I'm going to start posting stuff up now that it's being drawn. That's on my my Instagram at Beefy McStudley. And it's L-E-Y, although I doubt a Beefy McStudley with L-Y at the end exists. So you'll find it if you start typing in on the search bar. But yeah, you can find us on any social medias. Geeksploration the podcast Facebook page, Geeksploration podcast on Instagram, and Twitter at Geeksplorepod.
Oh, and if you want to read Space Oddities number 1 before you give us money for Space Oddities number 2, it's on Comixology, Drive Through Comics, and Global Comics.
Yeah, or you could send us an email at email at geekexplorationpodcast.com and figure out a way to order it. Order a physical copy. Whoa, brain fart. I didn't drink a Red Bull either. Like, I'm just...
Just it's naturally dumb.
It's the beer.
Physical copy.
Yeah.
You get that physical copy.
Physical copy. Hit us up anywhere. We'll make it happen.
All right. Well, I want Ginger to thank our patrons. Should I get you started, Ginger?
Oh my God.
Mike Gagne from Boston Harbor Horror. JD Chris. Lowe. Oh, I was doing them out of order. Sorry, I'm getting you started. To? JD Lowe. All right, now you can go.
Chris Copeland from the Retro Hangover. Dan the Movie Seller from the Movie Seller.
Cartmart Games.
And Cartmart Games, yep. And thank you, Rappy McRapperson, for our intro music, and Inadequacy for our outro music. Oh, shit.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Just
thank you for having us on. We appreciate it.
Goodbye. Yes, thanks for coming on again.
Ginger, they're still not hanging up.
Goodbye. There it is. I was like, wait, I haven't said thank you for having us on. Oh.
Oh, shit. But thanks for having us.
What are you talking about? No, oh you were
Ginger,
the ones doing us a favor.
He wants to say it. He didn't mean that you.
No, I was actually thanking you guys for having us on. I just hadn't gotten to that.
You're welcome, Ginger. We'll have you on your show anytime you'd like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
it's a good time for us to have us on your show.
That was fun. I'm going to have to warn people right now that this episode that you just listened to is going to be longer than normal.
All right, so I'm going to stop recording.
Oh, I guess I was supposed to do that at the beginning. All right, yep, stop. Thanks for listening to another episode of GRPVG.
Yes. And if you'd like to join our Patreon, we are at patreon.com/GrandRapidians Play Video Games.
Yep. We'll send you stickers every month and we'll shout you out every episode.
Yes.
Send us an email at GrandRapidiansPlayVideoGames@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you can find us on Twitter at Grand_Video and Instagram at GrandRapidiansPlayVideoGames.
You could give us a call at 9167-WILLIE as 9167, my name, Willie.
It's a real number.
Leave us a message. We'll get back with you. We'll play it on the air if you want.
Yep. And also, if you would like to give us a rating on whatever podcatcher you can.
iTunes, Podchaser.
And send us a picture of your 5-star rating, and we'll send you some stickers.
And you can find us on every platform on our Linktree, linktr.ee/GrandRapidians.
Goodbye.